Welcome to Conversations in Cannabis. Today's guest is George Sadler, co-founder and CEO of California-based Gelato. This conversation was recorded in person during Hall of Flowers, May 3rd, 2023.
It's definitely been
some
time.
That's how fast time flies.
Especially in this industry.
When you're having fun.
Oh, absolutely. And in the cannabis industry, I mean, things are moving at the pace of tech these days.
Yes.
Since launching your brand, how's things been with the space for you?
Amazing. Amazing. We've been so well received here, especially coming from where we were previously with the other brand. And the launch here, and then we did MJ BizCon like 3 weeks after this one, and we have not slowed down. It's been absolutely insane.
Well, and you guys, you crushed it with your previous brand, obviously PV, now with Gelato, again, crushing it with this brand, going for the perfect demographic, kind of right there in the middle.
Yep.
Not worried necessarily about trying to reach that premium triple tier.
No.
You know, crazy price points. When you're looking at, you know, kind of the overall industry as a whole and where you guys are fitting in, categories definitely shifted since you guys first launched your first brand.
Right.
How are things in the categorical approach now? Obviously, vapes a little bit bigger, edibles a little bit bigger.
Yeah, surprisingly, you know, flower will always be on that top level. I mean, but the gap is getting closer. The pre-rolls have just sailed. On our end of it, our flower is just amazing, but the pre-rolls have just sailed. And then, you know, edibles are kind of making a strong comeback, if you want to say it that way, which, you know, we kind of anticipated that. But and I think that the reason for edibles making this comeback is dosing. I think now, you know, everybody's had that fear of, oh shit, here I go, I don't know how much I'm taking. Whereas now dosing has gotten so precise that, you know, people are finding, it's kind of like, remember the, what is it, the sleep number? What's your number?
Exactly, you know? Dial it in.
Yeah. And I think that's like the concept now is, what's your number? You know, 10 milligrams, 15 milligrams. In my wife's case, 50 milligrams. You know, but everybody has a number.
Of course.
That you can correlate with whatever it is that you're going to consume. And so it makes things really easy. You know, I mean, there's no fear. And edibles are amazing. And it's a great way to consume the product or to have the product. But honestly, I know this even speaking for myself, it became a big scare because people didn't want to take that ride. And so I think edibles are on this massive upscale right now.
Well, and especially, you know, originally, you know, in the 215 era, you know, I think the first time we ever talked, we talked about the hot bite.
Yeah.
You know, somebody just getting a full dose from one bite. And they're just off
that brownie
the races.
That your buddy didn't get high, but you found yourself in the emergency room because you thought you were dying.
Exactly.
The hot bite.
And I think that fear, you're right, you know, now that the market has kind of evolved and that, you know, the technology has evolved, people are able to get repeatable dosing.
Yep.
I think that fear is going away. Back then, it also used to be a draw, the macrodose.
Yep.
Right now, it seems to be kind of a flip or the inverse. People are looking at kind of 2.5, 5 milligram, 10 milligram, 15 milligram, and there's still obviously that strong, heavy user.
Yep.
But are you seeing a trend where they're both going parallel, or are you seeing one kind of overtaking the other?
No, I mean, I think the big users will always be there. But what you're seeing now is the microdosing is definitely taking a forefront on that, because, and even for myself, I'll be honest with you, I had a couple really rough times on edibles, and I never steered back that direction at all.
Yeah.
It's so uncontrollable. I just now started getting back into that side of it, and I'm a 5 milligram, and that's, you know, 3 to 5, I'm good to go. I don't like that ultra. And so I'm one of those people that is now trusting the market again, and it's truly because of dosing.
Yeah, and I mean, the ability to,
I'm not that guy that goes into the room and eats a shit ton of whatever's on the table and just like, okay,
let's
I'm going.
Go. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm the other one that wants to, I buckle up.
But, you know, even just, you know, say buckling up or you know, the other end of the spectrum, trying to go hard, you know, you're right, people can kind of have that safety feeling.
Yeah.
Whatever they're going to get, they're going to get a repeatable dose.
Yes.
No matter what and where. Kind of that McDonald's style approach.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. And that's what's given security to people. And that's why you're seeing these edibles across the board are really taking a forefront.
And when you're looking at kind of the pre-rolls, I know that a lot of people are saying the quote-unquote dog walker, the 0.3,
yep.
is kind of dominating. Why is that, do you think?
Well, I think I could, my own belief,
yeah, of course,
could mean nothing to anybody else.
No, but sure.
My belief is, and we saw this trending through our company, is during COVID. During COVID, the dog walkers went nuts. And I believe it's because nobody wanted to share a blunt, wanted to share a giant pre-roll. And the other side of it is that, you know, typically that's how people usually are in a community, is sharing. And, you know, not that, you know, everybody's back to that.
Sure.
But the nice thing about the dog walkers are, especially like for us with our lollies that are infused, call it infused, but, you don't have to smoke a whole one. You can get a nice, on your own, enjoy one, and you know, you get what you need or want out of it, and you don't have to ash it out. Because I've never been a big fan of relighting a joint.
Oh, God, no.
You know, especially if it's a day or two later, you know, and I've never been a believer of keeping them in glass tubes because it hibernates in there with the burnt, and then it almost kind of reinfuses it with,
yeah, it's, know, not that, a good experience,
right.
Yeah.
And so the dog walkers per se, I think for us, we saw it during COVID. It seemed to really, like, we just went nuts in that end of what we do. So my belief is that sparked it, but then it all allowed people to continue on, and it's still just climbing.
And, you know, that's an interesting take that I actually haven't considered before, is the fact that people are doing it more for preservation of terps. I mean, you're only trying to make sure that you're only smoking the greenest part of the joint. You never want to end up putting it out and then trying to relight a burnt end.
Right. Can you remember back in the day? I mean, for me, yeah. I'd save all my roaches, and I'd take that and roll it up, and it tasted like shit.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know...
Oh, it gets you there.
You would smoke. You would smoke it.
Yeah, it gets you there.
You know, and the same thing to take a really good flower and go through the fun part of, you know, grinding it up and getting it into a pre-roll, and you know, and smoking half of it, then you go back to relight it, you know, and it just tastes like shit.
Yeah.
You just ruin that whole experience.
Right.
That's my belief. I love them.
Well, and the thing is that, you know, as people starting to learn more and more about kind of the entourage effect and the terpenes and the
yes.
whole olfactory experience, you could be fucking that up by smoking roach weed. Yeah.
Yeah, you are. And so that's another aspect I think that's true too, because we're now a community of, how are you know, connoisseurs, you know, people really want to know the terp profiles, you know, what's going on and what they're smoking. And so the testing side of this has really allowed us to get to that level where you can look at a label, you can understand the THC value, the CBD, CBN, like anything that you're looking for, but then you get the terp profiles on what it is that you're going to be smoking. And it's like wine tasting, you know what I mean? People have really gotten into the finer details of cannabis.
I mean, especially considering we're up here in Northern California,
yeah.
where it's wine, you know, wine is kind of the king with cannabis. Do you think it is ever going to get to a point where, I mean, obviously there's, you know, the cannabis farm tours and stuff like that, but do you ever think it's going to get to the point where people are doing, you know, kind of like terpene tastings
yes.
at these farms?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's right there. You know, there are a few companies that do the same thing, especially up north, where they're doing, like, get in a limousine and go to a few farms and do tasting. So it's already well on its way. And off of this, or however you want to look at it, it's funny because last night at our hotel, you know, everybody's in town, and we're staying at the Hyatt. And it's funny because there was a lady sitting up at the bar, and they have a huge wine set up there. And she's drinking her wine, and she's schnocked on the wine. and our and a few of our people were there, and then like one of the artists that we had, Lil Xan, they were all sitting, a bunch of people sitting there, and she just got, you know, everybody was having fun. She got pissed off and started calling everybody, "Yo, you fucking drug lords." You know, it's like,
really?
What? You know, and one said, "Well, I guess that's better than being called a drug addict." You know,
yeah.
But she is, you know,
smashed,
just destroyed on alcohol.
Yeah.
And everybody else is just there having fun, and yeah.
Well, and when you look at cannabis versus alcohol as a vice, you know,
comparison
on the recreational side. I mean, if you go to any cannabis event, competition, business to business, I don't think I've ever seen a fight or an argument. Even from rival companies, everybody's just here to enjoy the industry as a whole.
Well, I mean, great example, last year. Did you make it to the party last year?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Okay, got busted.
Yeah.
Got busted down.
I left before I got busted.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, we had alcohol, tons of weed, you were there.
Mm. Oh,
not one, and every person that is here, we don't even call them competitors, to be honest with you. But everybody that we do business with was there.
Right.
And everybody enjoys hanging out with each other, and there's room for everybody. There was not one fight, nothing. And the cops came, no issues at all, across the board. The cops were super cool. Matter of fact, two of the cops that busted our party are working for us at this party, and they were super happy.
And if I understand correctly, because I wasn't there when it got busted, but if I understand correctly, it was because of parking. It wasn't because of noise or somebody doing something crazy. Just a lot of people were at the party.
There was over a mile long through the subdivision of cars. It goes on. So yes, it wasn't for the fact that people were, you know, being obnoxious or fighting or, you know, any of that stuff. It was the fact that there was 600 people in a house.
And it was an immaculate place, too, yeah. By the way. That mansion was beautiful.
And when it cleared out and we were there with the cops and having a blast, the cops stood back and just said, "I cannot believe how many people came out of this house." And it literally, we didn't have to trash it. It literally was impeccable. Nothing was broken. Nothing was messed up. There was no trash, you know, anywhere.
Of course.
And as you know, everything we had was prepackaged. So there were thousands of pre-rolled tubes and all glass, not one glass tube broken. All the trash cans, everything was taken care of. When they walked out, the police were just like, this is the difference between breaking up a drunk party and a cannabis party.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, you guys were even extremely respectful of the place. If I remember, I remember people had to walk outside to smoke joints, combustibles, but you guys had vapes on the inside.
Yeah.
You know, it just, I would imagine if this was for, you know, an alcohol company or a liquor brand, the house would have been destroyed.
You gotta, I've been to parties. I've been to alcohol parties. We all can't deny that. And I'm not sitting here just to, I'm promoting marijuana, but I've been there, and I've been that guy as well. And, you know, we're all guilty. Like, when you're in the alcohol zone, shit's getting broke. Fights are going to take place. Egos are coming out, you know? It's a whole different vibe.
Aggressive egos.
Yes.
Yeah. And when you guys are looking at the party space, you guys are doing the official party now for Hall of Flowers, which is going on day one at 8 p.m., what can you kind of tell us as far as how that relationship kind of developed? You know, did that come from the party last year?
Yeah. Yeah. So Alex made it out to the party last year, right as it was being closed down.
No.
But he was there for a while. We had people that still came in just to be in the party. And after the party, we kind of meshed together because we love working with these guys. And I don't remember if they reached out. However it was, we were having conversations, and they said, yeah, we'd love to work together to do a party. And so originally it was going to be right here, those two buildings.
Gotcha, over there.
Yeah. But, you know, we were adamant we wanted to have alcohol, which still, you know, was okay here. It was just a whole process to get through with the fairgrounds. Nothing bad. So we ended up across the street. I just think, in all fairness, I think everything needs to coexist, and that's our problem. Is that you can't have cannabis and alcohol you know, you can't be at a bar and have cannabis in a lounge. So we're just really big on the coexisting and responsible drinking, obviously, you know, across the board. And so, you know, we talked for a bit, and we ended up across the street. And so it's a gelato event, and Hall of Flowers has been working great with us on promoting it. It's working great on their end for ticket sales and getting people involved. And we just went over the top on this thing.
No, it's going to be absolutely amazing. I know you guys are going to have consumption on site, branded products, obviously.
Yeah.
When you're taking a look at kind of the product lines that you guys have now versus, say, the last time that we talked, obviously from a category side, we kind of talked about that, but are there specific items that you've kind of been surprised by the growth on?
Well, I'm glad you're asking that. So the one thing that we listen to, especially, you know, through our store up in Lake Elsinore, we love to hear what people's thoughts are and what people want in this space. And so, you know, you have people that want to go buy an ounce of flower, and you don't want to go buy, you know, eighths to get there. So we started another sub-brand under Gelato called Bulk, and we can't keep it on the shelf. And it's half ounces of flower. We cannot keep it on the shelf. It's absolutely insane.
Do you think it's the price point that's
it's
helping?
It's a combination of both. You know, I mean, you can, you know, rather than, you know, to market and sell an eighth with a jar or a bag or whatever you're doing, you've got that cost of all the way down the line. So we cut all that out and put everything in one bag. So you're getting it at a fraction, to be honest with you.
Right.
So the consumer can then, if you have something that you think is your favorite, done. It's in an ounce or half ounce bag, and you're not paying for five jars with all the labeling and all the stuff. You miss all that.
Right. And then it also goes into you know, waste in the industry. A lot of people talking about, you know, multiple points of packaging for a single product.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, if you're buying an ounce, you know, you're getting eight containers.
Exactly.
That's a lot of plastic just being thrown away for, you know, especially a heavy user might smoke an ounce a week.
Yeah.
That's eight containers going in the trash every single week. That's ridiculous. So.
And that's kind of how we started hearing that from customers. And we see a lot of it where they're like, man, I really love this strain. And while it's out, I'm going to grab this much. So we really concentrated on that, and that's how we ended up with doing Bulk, because now they can not only get that, they have to spend a fraction of what they did on buying all the eighths, and they still get the same product.
And I mean,
we're not offering, it's not like, oh, it's a cheaper discounted flower or anything like that. It's the same, it's just in a bulk.
Yeah, and again, cutting out that packaging is massive, not just from an ecological standpoint, but, you know, from an economical standpoint.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're passing those savings along to the consumer. So, you know, we've kind of seen, you know, kind of the evolution of your brand of across the past year or so. Where are we going to see you in the future from now? Obviously, the cannabis market has kind of matured here in California. We've seen you kind of expand around. What's next for you guys?
So we launched in Michigan. So we are in Michigan, and we are just launching in Missouri.
Beautiful market.
Yeah. Missouri. Yeah, we're excited. We're so excited about Missouri as well. And I think we have a few other states that we're working towards, but we really want to solidify in each state. And you know, as we are doing here, there's nothing fun about just going out and, you know, AKA whoring yourself around.
Well, and
we want to make sure that everybody's getting the experience in every state.
Well, on the quality assurance side, also, you want to make sure you're getting the right partners. You want to make sure you're expanding in the right way. Obviously, a lot of people that just do rapid expansion kind of, for lack of a better word, skip past a lot of the quality assurance.
Yes, it's a money-driven side of it, and we're not in that position. It's not a money drive for us at all. It's about having fun, and in having fun, that's creating the experience for everybody and giving them the quality that I think people deserve across the board at an affordable price. That's always been our thing.
Is there a particular market that excites you more than others? Obviously, Michigan and Missouri, two of the greatest markets right now in the cannabis industry.
I think if we were really to draw it in, I mean, New York, we're really wanting to be in New York and Florida.
Florida's adult. If they go adult use, that'll be insane.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit saddened, and once you say New York, I'm personally a little bit sad about how the speed of the market's rolling out there.
I know.
Are you hopeful that that's kind of going to get kickstarted eventually?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it has to. Come on. I mean, how is it dragging so long over there? You can go downtown. I don't know when the last time you were in New York, but...
It's been a minute.
Yeah, but I mean, I've been there a few times in the last year or so, and it's like, you can go downtown and there's literally food trucks sitting right downtown, and you can go up and you can buy anything that you want. I don't understand. I mean, they're just, for some reason,
just allowing the illicit market to kind of facilitate itself. It's absolutely surprising because you figure a market that large with a pre-existing medical market would have looked at California and said, like, we need to have something in place.
Yeah.
We know this is happening. So
we got all the East Coast, West Coast rappers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody's just as good as, you know, on each side of this, you know, the states. How is New York dragging its feet? I mean, I guess knowing what's going to happen there and how much fun it's going to be, can you imagine?
Imagine
this?
In New York? Yeah. And not only that, but again, like, consumption laws here are very restrictive, versus there is treated like tobacco.
Right.
So, I mean... Yeah, the sky's the limit. So them rolling it out this slowly, it does baffle the mind. You know, you'd think that they would have done something. Are hopeful for the future? Maybe they'll kickstart it forward?
It'll be there. It'll be there.
All right. Well,
we would like to thank George for his time and being on today's episode. Find out more about Gelato by visiting them online at www.gelatocanna.com. Stay tuned to the next episode here on Conversations in Cannabis.